You can take your Bibles tonight, and you can turn to Jude, the book of Jude. It only has one chapter. We'll go to verse 1 of Jude. It's right before the last book of the Bible, Jude, Revelation. So if you get to the end of the Bible, just go back a little bit further. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on our fight for the faith. Jude is a book of what we are to do and how. So we're going to take a look at the first verse of Jude. It says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by whom? God the Father. And preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And the word sanctified there in verse 1 is the word for loved. Those that are loved by God. And the word preserved, we're going to look at a little bit. But it's basically the word for locked in, or a reserved spot. Okay? We're locked in. Our spot is reserved in Jesus Christ. So if you have a ribbon, you can leave it here. We're going to take a little look at that. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So from the very beginning, God knew that you would believe. He knew in his foreknowledge that you would believe his word. So from the very beginning, God chose you because you made a choice. You made a choice to believe God and to believe his word. And because of that, we have salvation through sanctification, a setting apart of the Spirit. Because of our Holy Spirit, we're set apart, and our belief of the truth of God's word. Of God's word. And so from the beginning we chose to do that. And as a result of that choice, our spot is reserved. We're locked in. Go to John chapter 10, verse 27. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27. So God loved us, right? It's by God's love that we have been set apart. It's by God's love that we do have this opportunity to be reserved. And John 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And the word pluck there in both of those verses is to be taken by force. To be taken by force. We cannot be taken from the hand of God in eternity. That is to be preserved in Christ. Our spot is reserved. Nothing can take us away. Nothing can pluck us away from that. There's no force on earth or anywhere else that's going to take that away from us. Okay? We can't be plucked away from it. So our Father, we're in God's hand, and nothing is going to take that away. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1, verse 3. I have two daughters, and sometimes when they were younger, actually sometimes today even, they have trouble sharing. And they would snatch things from each other's hands, right? Like, so we would have a toy, and the other person would just grab it. And that person has it, and the other person doesn't anymore. But nobody can pluck us away from the hand of God. There's no force that's going to allow that to happen. That's like if every time Hannah tried to grab something from Elizabeth, she just was not strong enough to do it, no matter what it was. That's the way it is with God and us. We can't be plucked away. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." Okay, the phrase "begotten us again," you know what he talks about in all the different places where it goes over genealogy, where this person begat this person, begat that person. So "begotten us again" means that we are born again. That's what it really means. "Which according to his abundant mercy has rebirthed us." We're born again because of his abundant mercy. "Unto a lively," or a living, "hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And that word "reserved" is the same word as "preserved" back in Jude 1. It's preserved. That spot is reserved in heaven for you. You're going. It's like your seat at the table is already reserved. Verse 5, "who are kept, protected by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So we're kept. Our position is reserved. We can't be plucked away. And we are protected. We're kept by the power of God. That spot is protected. Nothing can take that away. Nothing can take that away. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Okay. So now you're starting to get a mind picture of what it is. This unique scenario that we have in Christ, where we're protected. We can't be plucked away. Our spot is reserved. No force is going to take that away. Colossians 3:1. "If," and the word "if" there should be the word "since," because, "since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are" where? "Above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection," the things that you really desire, the things that bless you the most, the things that you really care about. That's what it is to have an affection, right? We're to set our affection. We're to recalibrate the things that we want in life on what? Things above. On things above. Because we all have things that we really want in life. We all have things that make us happy. We all have things we desire. But the Word of God says that we're to recalibrate those things to those things above, not on things on the earth. And sometimes that takes some work. It takes a renewed mind. It takes a change in your attitude, right? To recalibrate that. Because it's easy to want those, you know, a pile of ice cream every night after dinner. I set my affection on more screen time or whatever it is. But the Word of God says to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, the stuff that you really care about. "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Okay? So what does it mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to be hid in Christ? Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 18. So God wants us, since we are risen with Christ, since our spot is reserved, he wants us to set our affection, our desire, on things above. Why? Because we're dead and our life is hid with Christ. John chapter 1, verse 18. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." He hath made him known. The bosom represents the center of God's love, of God's care, of God's attention, of God's protection. That's the bosom of God. His love, his care, his attention, his protection. And that's where Christ is. And we are hid in Christ. We are at the center of God's love and his care. That's what it is to be hid in Christ. To be wrapped up in God's love, in his affection, in his care. Go back to Jude, verse 2. Okay, so God loves us a ton. He loves us a ton. And our spot is reserved. We're protected. And because of all that, we're to set our affection on the things that are above. So that's what we're to do. Jude, verse 2. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be what? Multiplied. These blessings are multiplied to whatever degree the need is. Whatever level of need we may have, that mercy, that peace, that love is multiplied to fill that need. That's God's love. That whatever it is that we need, maybe we're feeling particularly down, we've experienced a great loss in our life, or we're especially hurt. Well, that love, that mercy, that peace is multiplied to fill that hole, right? To fill that up. There's no amount of downness or depression or whatever need in your life that God can't take care of and can't fill up. It's multiplied because we are preserved. Our spot is reserved in Christ. And God's going to take care of us while we are still here. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So, verses 1 and 2 are kind of a greeting to the church. And then in verse 3 it says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. It was important that he wrote unto them about that, about the common salvation, and exhort you, to encourage you to a more worthy endeavor, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. And the words earnestly contend are vigorously defend, or to aggressively fight for. Okay, and that is, so Jude opens up with a greeting, and then he says to them, listen guys, it was needful for me to write unto you and encourage you that you should fight for this. And he's telling them what to fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So he's encouraging them to stick up for God's word and the word that they have heard. That word was delivered unto them. It was written unto them. It was shared with them. And he's encouraging them to fight for it, to vigorously defend it. And that's what we're to do. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. And this is how we do it. So we're reserved unto Christ, and we should fight, because of that, we should fight, earnestly defend the word that we know, aggressively fight for it. The reason we should do that is because it's easy for that word to slip away, right? It's really easy for that word to slip away. The first century church knew the word of God, you know, because they experienced it, they lived it, it was super hot. And then it didn't take long for all of that to fade away. It didn't take long for there to be divisions, for there to be wrong doctrine. And then it kind of got slept on for thousands of years. Right? There's a very dark period in the world. It's called the Dark Ages. Only a handful of people really knew the accuracy of God's word. Right? And we have the privilege today to know the word rightly divided like it hasn't been known in a very, very, very long time. But it's easy for that word to slip away. And that's why we should fight for it. Philippians 1:27 says, "Only let your conversation, your manner of living, be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Let the way that you live be as it becomes the gospel of Christ." Let it represent the gospel of Christ, what he taught. Taught about love, about taking care of people, about compassion. "That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit," which means to stand fast as one spiritually, altogether spiritually, "with one mind, like soul, like-minded, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Striving together, fighting for it. For the faith, for the believing, for the word of God. We need to stand, contend, and fight for the right way of believing. That's what God's asking us to do. That's what God's asking us to do. So that's what we should do. Go to Jude, verse 20. Okay? So it's mentioned there in Jude, it's mentioned there in Philippians. And in Jude, verse 20, it starts to tell us how to do that. Jude, verse 20. So he opens up the book telling us what we should do, and he closes the book and telling us how he should do it. Verse 20. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the what? Holy Ghost." So what does that mean? That's right. Speaking in tongues. So the first thing is that we need to build up our minds by getting into the Word, by staying in the Word, and we build up our spirits by speaking in tongues. Okay, you build up yourselves on your most holy faith, on the believing, on the Word of God, and then praying in the Holy Ghost, which builds up your spirit, edifies your spirit. So the way that we can fight for God's Word is we to keep our heads in it, and we're to speak in tongues and build up our spirit, edify our spirit. Spiritual exercise. Verse 21. "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Keep yourselves in the love of God. So we need to keep ourselves in God's love. Okay, stay in fellowship with Him, right? And loving like God. And loving like God. Keep yourselves in the love of God also means to love like He does. Practice loving like God does. Keep ourselves in that love. Do the things that God would want you to do. "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Okay? Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Unto the return of Christ. Looking for that return, that hope. We need to look towards Christ's return. That's another way that we can fight for the Word of God. Because the hope encourages us. God bless you. It encourages us. Sometimes we might feel like, wow, this is a lot of work, or I feel downtrodden. But if we keep our eyes on the hope, on the return of Christ, then it's easier. Because then we remember, hey, this is all just a blink of an eye. It's temporal. Whatever this uncomfortable situation is nothing compared to eternity. Verse 22. "And of some have compassion, have mercy, have pity." That word compassion is to have mercy or pity. "Making a difference." This verse is very poorly translated in the King James. When you first read it, it sounds like, have compassion on people, make a difference. And that's, you know, that's very noble and honorable, nothing wrong with that. But that making a difference is one word in the Greek. I'm going to try to pronounce it. It's diakrinomios. Yeah, diakrinomios. And it literally means those who are disputing or doubting. Those who are disputing or doubting. Okay? So that making a difference is being translated from those who are disputing or doubting. Which, when you think about it that way, makes a little more sense. Those people make a difference. They divide people. They make a difference between this person and this person. Those people who are doubting. Those people who are disputing. Okay? And so, of some have compassion, okay, and we're to have compassion on those who are trying to divide and to dispute, okay? And the way that we can have compassion on people who are trying to divide and to dispute is to give them the word, to give them the word, to reprove those who dispute and doubt, okay? To reprove those who dispute and who doubt. So that's another way that you can fight for the word. If somebody is teaching wrong doctrine, if somebody is trying to cause division, then those people need to be reproved and corrected, okay? Because they're off the word. We don't let that kind of stuff stand. You know, we're not mean about it, you know, but we are stern about it. It has no place. Because left unchecked, that stuff can divide people. Left unchecked, that stuff can result in people walking away from God's word. And that's not fighting for it, right? That's letting it happen. Verse 23. And others save with fear. The words with fear are not there. Not located in that part of the verse. And others save, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. So the second thing is for those in danger of falling into the fire, of really screwing up, we can pull them out. Okay, we can pull them out. And again, we do that with God's word by taking a stand on it. If somebody's about to really screw up or is in the process of doing stuff that's really off the word, we can pull them out. The word "and others" should be repeated after the word "fire" there. And others, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Okay? So, and others. So with some of them, we're going to have to pull them out of the fire. And so with others, we're going to hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. Well, that's also not very clear. And what that means is that we're to hate the sin that that person has put on like clothing, okay? Like clothing. They're basically living in it, right? They're putting it on like a garment. They're stuck in that wrong way of living, wrong way of believing, okay? So we're to have mercy on those who are in that position. We're to help them out. We're to help them out. The word "show mercy" up in verse 22 is that word compassion there. We're to show mercy on them. Eliate in the Greek. So we're supposed to give them the word. For those who are in danger of falling into the fire, we can pull them out. And we're to have mercy on those who have sinned. Be merciful to those who have sinned. Right? We don't hate that person, but we hate the sin that they're walking in. Right? We love the person, we hate the sin. That's what it's about. We don't say, oh, it's okay that you go around murdering people. Oh, it's okay that you do these wrong things. No, that's not okay. We can tell them those things are not okay, but we still love them. We don't say, you know, you should not come around here anymore because you lie a lot. You should say, hey, we love you a lot, but you need to stop lying. You've got a problem. We address the sin. And if that person doesn't want to change, then yes, be wise about it. But we're supposed to fight for God's word and take care of his people. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God is able to keep us from falling. He looks at us as faultless. And we can have exceeding joy in all of that. Right? this is what we can do to help people, this is what we can do to fight for God's word. But when it comes to God himself, he can help us. He'll keep us from falling. Right? When we're doing his word, he sees us. He always sees us as faultless. He always does. He never looks at us and sees the sin that we still screw up and do. He always sees us as faultless. And he can help to keep us from falling. And that can be a great joy to our lives. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We can be exceedingly joyful in that. To the only wise God, our Savior, to be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And that's the exhortation that we get from the book of Jude. To know that we are set apart, that our spot is reserved, and because of that, we can have great confidence in God. We can know that we're loved and taken care of, and that God's on our side, and then we can fight for that right way of believing, fight for that faith, fight for the word of God that we know, so that it continues on, so that it continues to live and to bless people and take care of people.